grateful for the work of your gospel that goes forward to the ends of the earth, particularly as we read and focus on this Psalm 67 and see this evangelistic emphasis of all the peoples, of all the nations. We pray, our God, that our hearts would respond appropriately and want your kingdom to be advanced. We pray, Lord, that you will cause your word to have success. We think of our friends who labor in the gospel there in the Far East, seeking to work under the eye or outside the realm of being seen by the governmental authorities there. We pray, Lord, for these modules that will be presented to men preparing for the pastorate coming in January. And we would ask that you would be pleased to watch over these various churches and church plants. And we would ask that you would cause the number of believers to continue to multiply there in that vast nation. And we would pray for Pastor Bala as he has this conference in India by way of Zoom, the men gathering together in Bangalore, and Pastor Bala joining them by way of Zoom to speak to them. We pray that you would help them to quickly to rise above any distance that is felt due to the technology. And we pray that you would wonderfully bless the opening of the scriptures. And Father, we pray that you would warm our hearts as we worship here together. We pray for Maritza's mother and ask that you would sustain her, that you would help her to come through these days of pain. And we pray that you would make it to be so that there would be no lingering infection, that there would be only healing that is taking place. And we think of Colleen and ask for this little girl in her womb and pray that you would show your kindness to her. And help us, Lord, as we come in a matter of minutes to focus on your word. We pray that you would give help to me, that I would be able to make the things of your word to be clear. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Then let us sing our second hymn.
Oh,
You may be seated. That might be some help for those of you taking notes. Numbers 6 and verse 22 and following give us something of that very familiar Aaronic benediction. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, to his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.' So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel and bless them." And what we find then in our psalm this evening is this prayer in verse 1 that God would have his face to shine upon us. And then it is broadened out in the very next verse that your way may be known, not to the nation of Israel, but on the earth, and your salvation among all of the nations. So this evening, we want to begin by looking here at the opening threefold petition. The opening threefold petition here from verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Here is, first of all, A, the petition for mercy, or the petition for favor and grace. May God show his favor and his grace. And usually, when there is this request, asking for mercy, asking for favor, there is the awareness of a sin. There is the awareness of a calamity here on earth. And then there is the request of God's kindness, that he would look on us with mercy and compassion. And then secondly, B, we have the petition for blessing. Those of you just, looks like you may be getting some handout sheets after all. Thank you, Joy. The opening threefold petition, the petition for mercy, and now be the petition for blessing. We bless God with words as the expression of our worship to our God. The petition here is, "And God be gracious to us," the middle line, "and bless us." When we come to God and bless him, the only thing that we can do is use our words and give our words to God. But nonetheless, it's important, because with our words, we're showing to God that we want his name to be lifted up. But on the other hand, when God comes and he blesses us, he is coming with power and has the ability to give us gifts. He has the ability to work deeds in our favor. So this petition, though it is somewhat simple to say, "and may God bless us," it is very far-reaching in its effects. It is always appropriate for us to pray, "may God bless us." It's important that we mean what we say and to have our hearts engaged, but nonetheless, whatever the situation, we're asking God, "look at my physical needs, look at my emotional needs, look at my spiritual needs, and bless me in each of these realms. Look at me as an individual with all of my needs. Look at me as a church with all of our particular needs. And may the God bless us. And what does it take to be blessed of God? Well, it is to have his favor coming to us and then God's deeds to be shown to us in mercy and favor. Thirdly, we have C, the petition for God's lighting face. God's lighting face. In a world of darkness and confusion and sin, there is this wonderful blessing of the light that comes from God's face. And it brings a measure of comfort, a great deal of comfort to us, to have the sense that I am right here before God's face and God is smiling at me. God is favorable towards me. When God's smile is on us, then it brings a wonderful light and encouragement to our path. And it's always appropriate for us to be asking God for his favor, to be asking God for his blessing, to be asking God for a sense of his favorable presence. And so this psalm is one that is always fitting for us to be asking, Lord, I need your life-changing favor. I need your powerful blessing. I need your favorable presence to be with me. Well, so much then for Roman numeral 1 and for verse 1. And we can just shut this down, can't we? Notice with me Roman numeral 2, the evangelistic end and the result of God's great blessing. This is, first of all, from verse 2a. And here we're asking that God come and he make his way to be known. Verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth. We're asking for God's knowledge amidst the earth. This is A. God blesses us so that the knowledge of God will spread. You see what's been going on here. There is in Numbers 6 that very Jewish blessing where Aaron, the priests, standing in front of the congregation, are pronouncing a blessing on them. And now, amazingly, that very Jewish blessing is spread out to the ends of the earth. There is this God's knowledge that is asked to be spread. Now, I want to draw your attention to the connection here of verse 1 and verse 2. There is, in verse 1, we want your blessing, we want your favor, we want your blessing, we want a favorable sense of your presence. And then notice how verse 2 begins, that. There's a purpose here. We want the petitions answered in verse 1 to the end that your way may be known on the earth. So what the psalmist is saying is that God's blessing on us is not an end in and of itself. God's blessing on us is a means to an end. It is not, God, give your blessing to us that I may be saved. That's legitimate. That I may be satisfied and content. That I may be happy. That I may enjoy God. But this is something more noble. In verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth. Here, it's as though God is saying, we want your favor to come to us so that we may be useful in having the gospel go to the ends of the earth. And so we find that evangelism is found in the heart of this Old Testament psalm. If you tried to pull the universalism out of Psalm 67, you really would not have very much left. If you're looking at your text, notice that in verse 2, there is the mention of the earth, there is the mention of the nations. You've got there in verse 3, the peoples and all the peoples. Verse 4, you've got the nations, the peoples, the nations. And in verse 5, you've got the peoples and all the peoples. And in verse 6, you've got the earth. And in verse 7, you've got the ends of the earth. So I think the point is well made, that there is this universalism, there is this evangelism going to the ends of the earth that is here in the heart of this Old Testament psalm. And particularly here in verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth speaks of this geographic realm, the whole realm of humanity, and we want the gospel to be going forward. Then notice with me, secondly, B, God's salvation amidst the nations. Now, the second part of verse 2, your salvation among all nations. And so it's very plain that it's the psalmist is not merely looking for the knowledge of God to be going out to the ends of the earth. It is the knowledge of God going out to the ends of the earth that men and women, boys and girls, to the ends of the earth would believe that knowledge of God and would be saved. You see it there in the latter part of 2, your salvation among all nations. So this godly Old Testament petitioner, very likely David, under inspiration, is not at all content to have people to be hearing about God, but he wants them to hear about God to the end that they would be saved by God. To know of God is not enough. To know more about God and then end up to be damned for that greater knowledge of God? David wants more people to be converted. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 18, where we get a sense of the gospel going forward in the age of Messiah. Acts 18, beginning at verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, Paul shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there, entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. What a privilege to live in the age of the Messiah, where the gospel is going forward to the ends of the earth, where it is not simply a petition of Psalm 67, as wonderful as that petition is, but to be able to see something of the fulfillment of this in the New Testament, to think in our own membership as a relatively small congregation, we have those from the nation of Peru, from the Dominican Republic, from Jamaica, from Pakistan, from India, in addition to the rest of us from the melting pot here of the United States. And how does this psalmist pray? It's not just, "Lord, bless me so that I can feel good," but it is, "Bless me that I may be a means of the gospel going, of the knowledge going, and of salvation going to the ends of the earth. And is this how we think, even of our relatively small congregation? To think of the privilege that I've had representing us as a congregation in traveling to various countries, to the Philippines, to Trinidad, to Pakistan, to China, and to India? Life is not to be primarily about ourselves and our own enjoyment, but it is to be about the expansion of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we are attracted to that threefold petition at the beginning. Lord, we want your favor. We want your blessing. We want a sense of your presence. But may God help us increasingly to see that our lives are not primarily about ourselves. God is blessing us in whatever ways he is, to the end that we would help the gospel to go forward to the ends of the earth. So what we've got going on in Psalm 67, the light of your countenance shining upon us, that reflection back to the very Jewish, the very much priestly prayer and benediction on the people of God, but that actually going back further to Genesis 12 and verse 3, where all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham. And one has written, "It is especially meaningful for me as a non-Israelite, a non-Jew, a member of the Goyim, the nations, from the ends of the earth, to hear these words of Psalm 67, these words of a special relationship pronounced over me and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have much to be thankful for, that we have been grafted into the family of God through the work of Jesus Christ. And we ought to come with a measure of great joy that we can share in the glory of God in the future rather than trembling in fear at the consequences of our own sin." Well, so much then for what we see in Roman numeral 2, having seen the opening threefold petition, and then seeing Roman numeral 2, the evangelistic end and result of God's blessing. And now we come to Roman numeral 3, the climactic petition. We're moving up to reach the high point of the petition of this evangelistic heart. Verses 3 through 5. Recall the movement. There is that threefold petition. This is A, recall the movement. God, be gracious to us. God, bless us. God, cause your face to shine on us. The reasoning, you're going to bless us to the end that we would have the knowledge of God and the salvation of God to reach out. And then notice this climactic petition, this chorus for universal praise. Now reading from verse 3a. "Let the peoples praise you, O God." Let all the peoples praise you. Now, who is it that is to be praising God according to verse 3? It is the peoples. It's more than just the nation of Israel. But then there is that expansion to all the peoples. So there's the intensified chorus of universal praise. Peoples, we would think that's wonderful enough. But then it moves out to all the peoples. The psalmist is not so much interested in just himself. He's interested in having the blessing of God go out to the ends of the earth, and he wants these people to know God. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be worshiping God. So this language of verse 3, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." This sanctified heart is reflecting the heart of God in salvation. That heart of God that we find in Ezekiel 33, say to them, as I live, says Jehovah God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So here is this evangelism that is even heightened from one verse to the next. The peoples, all the peoples, to have them to be praising God. What a privilege for us, as I shared in a recent prayer meeting, for a deacon's meeting to take place, and the key task was to designate where $15,000 of our tithe going to missions would be going out to the ends of the earth. That's the second installment. And would anybody reading this issue a complaint and say, well, I don't like the fact that $30,000 is spent on missions. That money could be spent here. No, our hearts are captivated by this evangelistic psalm that urges us to look out to the ends of the earth. And do you see, as we look at this psalm, why we nearly always pray for the advance of God's kingdom on prayer meetings, focusing out to the ends of the earth? Do you see why nearly always in our worship services there was a looking out to the ends of the earth? Spurgeon comments and says that our focus needs to start with ourselves. But there's something wrong with us as a church if our prayerful focus ends where it starts. It needs to break out to the ends of the earth. Then fourthly, D, under Roman numeral 3, notice the petition focusing on the reality and the depth of the nation's spirituality. This from verse 4. Let the nations be glad. Not only let them praise you, but let them be glad and sing for joy. There are many different reasons for singing. But this noble reason is for joy. God has saved me from my sins, and I want to praise him. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. In the latter part of verse 4, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. The first part of verse 4, we want the nations to have a spiritual joy and to sing for it. The middle part is we want God to be recognized as the one who is judging the nations and the one who will finally judge the nations at the great and final judgment. And then we have in verse 4 as well, the recognition of God's present and future guiding of the nations, that God would guide the nations on the earth. Think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd saves his people. He directs them. He directs them through his scriptures. There is this guiding influence. And now notice the emphatic return to the climactic petition chorus. We're looking now at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The theme begun in verse 3, the expansion and the deepening of it in verse 4, and then back to it in verse 5 for emphasis. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then that brings us to Roman numeral 4, the praise song. The praise song of the beginning petition. We want to see the connection between verse 1 and verse 6 and 7. And we have, first of all, A, the connection of righteousness and prosperity. We find in verse 6 that there is this recognition the earth has yielded its produce. Or as the New King James has it, the earth shall yield her increase. It seems likely that the psalmist is looking to the end of time when there's a new heavens and a new earth, when the curse of Genesis 3 is taken away so that Revelation 22 is recognized where there is no more curse. So the Old Testament holds out that there is going to be blessing on the people in the land when they are worshiping God in righteousness. And now that seems to be expanded, not just the land of Israel, but the whole new heavens and new earth, as everyone there is worshiping God aright, there is going to be the removal of the curse and this abundant blessing. Here's the culmination of the new heavens and the new earth. But then secondly, B, the endearing designation of our own God. Do you see it there in verse 6? The latter part, God, our God, blesses us. God, our God. Do you know God to be your own God? Well, if not, I would urge you to own him in that way, to know him in that way. There is a sweetness to having this sense that I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I belong to him and he belongs to me. And when God is your own God, then you know that the God of mercy has forgiven you of all of your sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign, the powerful God who is working all things for my good. He is the coming again God who is building a mansion for me in glory. This endearing designation, God, our own God. But then notice that phrase, blesses us. There is, see, the petition turned to praise and emphatically doubled. In verse 1, God, will you bless us? In verse 6, God, our own God, shall bless us. Verse 7, God shall bless us. He is blessing us. It is a great thing to have God as our own God and to know that we're moving along in the line of history to the point where God will be fully blessing us. It brings us hope. It brings us confidence in this life. It's a wonderful thing to have a petition in verse 1, please bless, and then to recognize its fulfillment, verse 6 and verse 7, God does bless us. And now fourthly, D, the evangelistic petition turned to praise. The latter part here of verse 7, that all the ends of the earth shall fear him, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Is this saying, is it advancing to us that every single individual of the earth is going to be converted, is going to believe in Christ? Well, of course not. On the other hand, every single individual that is a part of the new heavens and the new earth is going to be converted and is going to be blessing this wonderful God. So, in verse 3, verse 2, there's been the petition of God's knowledge going to the ends of the earth. There's been the petition that his salvation go to all of the nations. And now, in verse 7, that all the ends of the earth may fear him, that all the ends of the earth shall fear God. Salvation has blown out to the ends of the earth. Has God blessed us? Has God blessed you? Has He blessed us financially? Has He blessed us spiritually? Has He blessed us emotionally? Then may our hearts break out with this evangelistic petition, God, You have shown favor, You have shown blessing, You've caused the light of Your presence to be shining on us. Now, do that to the end that the knowledge of You will extend out to the ends of the earth and that the salvation of God would be so extended. Well, I trust that God will bless us and encourage us in the reading and meditating on this psalm that is amazing in its taking of this very Jewish pronouncement of Aaron's blessing, the light of God's countenance shining on them. Yes, shining on them as Jews, converting them, but then breaking out to the knowledge of God and the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. May we bless God in seeing the unfolding of His promises down through the ages. And if you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, may that knowledge come to you in a powerful way. And may the salvation of God come to you so that you would own God as your own God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this encouraging psalm that looks out to the ends of the earth. We thank You, Lord, that it is very plain that among those blessings that are announced to Abraham, there is that blessing that all the families of the earth would be blessed in Him. And we now know very plainly what that means, that the Abrahamic descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be this one who wins salvation for a people of every tribe, nation, and kindred and tongue. And we thank You, Lord, for the encouragement that it is to us this evening to see that there's not only that promise in Genesis 12, not only that benediction of Numbers 6, but that is expanded out to the ends of the earth here in this evangelistic Psalm 67. And we pray, Lord, that this psalm would instruct us and teach us and expand our own hearts, that it would be our great desire to see Your blessing on us to the end, that we would be used of You for the knowledge of You and the salvation of You to go to the ends of the earth, the peoples, all the peoples, to the nations, to the ends of the earth. We give You praise in Christ's name. Amen.